Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing but Netflix is back to talk about a new movie to Netflix with Woody Harrelson and Kevin Hart. It's called The Man from Toronto, and we're here to talk about it. And here is my co-star of buddy comedy every single week. It is the great Chappelle.
Do we talk about buddy comedies every single week?
No, well, I guess you're that. This podcast is a buddy comedy.
Oh, we are. So I am the Woody Harrelson of the pair, obviously, right? Like I am the man from Toronto.
I thought about this earlier. Of that, who is Teddy, and who is and the man from Toronto of me and Chappelle? And listen, I don't think it's as easy as you would think, because
no.
I think Chappelle, in a lot of ways, maybe I think that you might be the man from Toronto, and I might be more of the Teddy, and I feel like in a lot of ways that you are a man of the world, an educated man, and I am but a bumbling buffoon, and I feel like that you come in here often and, you know, teach me the ways of the world.
Well, Rob, when you put it like that, I think we're both Teddy, because I, too, am a bumbling fool. Mm-hmm. And one thing that Teddy has in common with the both of us is that we just can't shut the hell up. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's nothing else that's going on through this film, Kevin Hart is going to talk in every scene, no matter if the camera's on him or not, you're going to hear him. Mm-hmm. And I think both of us have that in common. So aren't we all just Teddy? In, you know, when you look at it through that lens, I think everybody's a Teddy. We all got a little Teddy in us.
We all have a little Teddy in us. And of course, now, we could not talk about The Man from Toronto without an honest-to-goodness Canadian citizen here on the podcast.
My handler.
Yes.
Yeah, my handler. Mm-hmm.
So let's bring in a woman who has had what a week of podcasting between the hot takeoff, the oops, all mess mailbag, the streamathon, the subathon. Here is Kirsten McInnes.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I was expecting one of you to say, oh, the bleeding drops of red. I was ready to jump in with whatever the second line to that is. But you know what? It's fine. Chappelle's right. I am his handler. So
yeah,
it was time.
Okay.
There was a time and a place.
Kirsten, I know you wanted to be here to talk about The Man from Toronto. What spoke to you about The Man from Toronto that you wanted to talk about it?
Okay, so I think there might be a miscommunication of like, oh, Kirsten's obsessed with The Man from Toronto and she needs to talk about it. I watched the movie on Netflix a week ago. It was in the top 10. I was like, this could be fun for Robin Chappelle to talk about, and at the very least I'd love to make them watch it. It seemed from the recording last week that there was not a chance in hell that you'll be talking about this film.
I thought it came away as the favorite last week.
I feel like it was a lot of like, I don't know about that. Chappelle was pushing to have me on because he's a real one. I don't know. And then, you know, a couple days ago, Chappelle texted me and was like, well, if we did talk about it, would you come on? And yeah. I was like, hell yeah, because I'm never going to turn down an opportunity to podcast with you and
for
Chappelle.
The record, I don't know about the movie, not about the guest suggestion of Kirsten
McInnes. No.
I didn't think anyone was unsure about me, but thank you for reassuring me.
Yes. Don't get it twisted, audience.
There'll be a Reddit post. Wow, Rob hates Kirsten. Rob doesn't respect her, and it shows.
And it shows. That's all I've been saying. Yeah. But okay.
Kirsten, is this your first time back with us on Nothing But Netflix since The Princess Switch 3?
I believe so. Mark?
Yeah.
That was after Too Hot to Handle. Well, no, Too Hot to Handle. Oh, yes, we did like a special crossover. Right. That was that's after, right?
That's right. Yeah.
What is time? I don't know.
What is time? Yeah, I thought of that more of as a Hot Dummies than Nothing But Netflix.
You're right.
But yeah. Which was the more plausible story? The Man from Toronto or Princess Switch 3?
I mean, I think that the fight scenes in the Princess Switch 3 were a little more realistic. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about the Princess Switch 3 until you said these words this time. Like I watched it and then it went away and I thought, you know, we will never revisit that. But here we are. You know what?
Just wait till the Princess Switch 4, Chappelle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming for you.
Can't wait.
Okay. So here we have on Netflix a Kevin Hart buddy comedy with Woody Harrelson. Chappelle, I thought it might be fun to talk about who hasn't Kevin Hart done a buddy comedy with?
Okay. Ooh. So clearly his brand is buddy comedy. Mm-hmm. But halfway through this film, I even started to think, where is The Rock? Was he busy? Because this just feels like the natural spot for him. Do you have any insight into where the Dwayne The Rock Johnson was in this film?
I think they couldn't afford him.
What?
I mean,
Netflix?
Woody Harrelson is not like cheap, I don't think.
I mean, maybe in 2022, I don't know what his figure is.
Oh, wow.
But I mean,
clearly
of course,
busy.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You have the Central Intelligence with the Rock. You have Ride Along.
Okay, Central Intelligence is genuinely hilarious. Have you ever watched it?
I've seen parts of it.
It's like, my sister and I watched it, and it was one of those times when I was like about to fall asleep, and I was like, oh, just put on anything, I don't care. And it was so funny that I couldn't fall asleep. I had to watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody's disparaging Central Intelligence.
I felt like your tone was, but
no,
it's
fine. I'm just saying that Kevin Hart has done a bunch of buddy comedies.
Yes, and he's mostly with The Rock.
He's running out of people. What other ones did he do with The Rock?
Well, I just feel like they are a buddy comedy in and of themselves, right? Like, it's kind of like they for a while became just like this tag team you would see on social media and in the press. Well, so I just feel like they're a natural duo at this point.
And they were both in the Jumanji remakes, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that also kind of, and they all kind of came out around the same time. So it makes you think like, oh, okay, they're a duo.
The Rock will often make Kevin Hart jokes. Like, I feel like I watch like The Young Rock and like, I feel like that one of The Rock's go-to punchlines is like, that guy wasn't bigger than Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart, you so short, you do backflips under the bed, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah. That's like a safe target for The Rock to beat up with his jokes.
Kevin Hart can't reach to get him back.
He just takes it. Right.
Yeah, he has no choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kevin Hart does the Ride Along movies with Ice Cube.
Yeah. I remember Ride Along, the first one. I refuse to ever even acknowledge that there was another one. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I won't say the words.
He paired up with, Johnny Knoxville for The Wedding Ringer?
Woo, that's a long time ago. I forgot all about The Wedding Ringer. That was a really funny cast, because I think Kaylee Cuoco was in that as well.
Oh, like, maybe she's in the Kevin Hart entourage.
I've pulled the, there's a list of the 10 best Kevin Hart movies, and they are all buddy comedies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Wedding Ringer, Kevin Hart, Josh Gad, and Kaylee Cuoco, Sweeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Kevin Hart also played a character named Teddy in 2018's Night School with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. I don't know if they were, that's technically a buddy comedy.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I think they're both the leads in that one. I thought you were going to say Night Tooth, though, for a second, and I was going to have to ask some questions. Like, do you even remember Night Teeth?
Remember, back
in the day when we talked about that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was with Will Ferrell in Get Hard. He was getting Will Ferrell ready to go to prison.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you go to Kevin Hart for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, because in the whole thing is that Will Ferrell's like a rich white man who's racist and just assumes every black man has been to prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
sounds about right.
Do we think, is Kevin Hart better to be paired with another comedian, or Kevin Hart, do you want to pair him with an action star?
This is tough because most of these people have been comedians in their own right. I mean, the only person is like The Rock, but I think that's an outlier, right?
Mm-hmm. But I also feel
The Rock
like
can be funny.
The Rock is funny. Like he's really fit, but and can do all the stunts. But also, like you can make fun of him and he can laugh at himself. I feel like he hasn't really been with someone who's not a comedic actor.
Yeah, funny-ish at worst. Mm-hmm. For The Rock.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna make that my Twitter bio.
Funny-ish
as at worst. That's the nothing but Netflix tagline now. I think that maybe Ice Cube is probably the furthest away from comedy, but even him, like his acting roles are always kind of like, I'm Ice Cube and I'm funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh yeah, we can see it, you know. So maybe he's the one action star of the bunch. Because Woody Harrelson, we haven't really talked about it. I didn't know he had this in him. Does he do other action roles? I wasn't familiar with this side of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's more of like a drama actor, I feel like. He doesn't have a lot of like action movies. I don't think you'd say Natural Born Killers is an action movie or anything like that. So, I mean, he has not really ever been an action star, I don't think.
Did he do anything action-y in Zombieland? I haven't seen that movie because I'm scared of the undead.
Yeah, maybe that might be the closest.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near this film as far as action goes. You know, like Zombieland, there's some shooting, maybe like, oh, you might hit something with an axe or with a bat or something like that. But this film, they had Woody Harrelson kind of standing in for what, Jason Statham in a way.
Yes.
Like you could just see other people in these roles and like, I was impressed. I didn't know he had it in him, but it definitely isn't something I expected to see him in. And I was wondering if this is the new route for him. Is he going into that like Jason Statham, Denzel Washington Equalizer type roles, you know, or, you know, those just like badass super assassin who nobody seems to be able to kill, you know, the John Wicks. Like, is that where Woody Harrelson is going now? Because this was new.
I'm wondering if he did his own stunts.
Interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting. How old is Woody Harrelson now?
I kind of think he's in his 50s, Woody Harrelson.
Probably about 60 by now.
Yeah, so he's kind of born 1961. So yeah, late 50s. The math is not my strong. 61. Yeah. Yeah, okay, very late 50s. The very late 50s.
So late that he, in fact, is 61.
I thought this was new. But again, I think at 60 years old, if he's doing even some of his stunts, that's still impressive because this was a very heavy fight scene movie. This movie was majority fight scene. It's just Kevin Hart doing commentary over like random fight scenes. I didn't hate Woody Harrelson in this role, but what did y'all think?
I feel like there's something very funny of just like an old white man who just like likes food and wearing turtlenecks. Like he's dressed like Steve Jobs for most of the movie. But yet he's just doing these absurd feats of strength and athleticism. And I think that because he doesn't look like that would be him, right? Which is what adds the layer of comedy to it. Like if The Rock was doing this role, it's like, yeah, we know The Rock can do all that.
But I don't know if it, like a trained assassin, and I'm, you know, not very familiar with the underworld and how things work, but I would imagine
the underworld.
Yeah.
Why is it called like the criminal underworld?
I mean, not like the demonic underworld.
Right. Like,
so, oh, because you are familiar Katie? With the demonic underworld.
I mean, I'm not. I'm familiar with neither. But I would imagine that I feel like that most like contract hitmen, like the man from Toronto, might look a little bit more like Woody Harrelson than The Rock. I think you want to be more inconspicuous.
Yeah.
That's the fair. Rock comes I also in, think. I think they'd be using burner phones. I don't think he'd have an Apple like smartphone that's just like, oh, my handler's calling me. I feel like he'd have a series of burner phones.
Seems like you are actually kind of familiar with the underworld, Kirsten.
The demonic, certainly.
There are only burner phones in the demonic underworld. Yeah.
Yeah, everything's exactly. A burner in the demonic underworld.
It's the man from Hades. So, yeah, this is very weird to hear y'all talking about that, but I'll go with it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Remember, Rob, do you remember when you covered Hunted and the one like couple just was never going to get caught until production was like, you can't use burner phones anymore?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, so I feel like... If that's the case for a CBS reality show, like actual criminals surely have burner phones. That's all I'm saying.
Are you saying that there are plot holes in The Man from Toronto, Kirsten?
Listen, you know, I'm saying that it's not perfect.
Okay. But I will say, big picture, like this was fun. This was, you know, I think maybe a little long, but that's, I probably say that about most movies. But, mm-hmm. you know, overall, you know, you put this on. I don't think anybody's complaining.
Yeah. I laughed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple good laughs. There were moments where you're just kind of watching Kevin Hart just riff, and you're thinking, oh, he's doing the Kevin Hart thing. And then he says something completely absurd. You just, like, spit your drink out randomly. So I had a few moments like that. Like, it was kind of one note, though, in that way. It's really like you let Kevin Hart into the room and just work the crowd, and then, you know, until the next scene happens, or until the police bust the door down, until Mr. Miami shows up. You know, like, it's just Kevin Hart chewing the scenery. A lot. And so if you're a fan of him, you're going to enjoy something like this. But if you're like me, where it's not like indifferent, you'll still catch a couple, you know, like really good, like funny moments.
I just like thinking back to like the most absurd things. Like obviously the action sequences are all too long, but like
yes.
comically too long. Like it's the kind of thing where if it was supposed to be like an action movie that's taken seriously, I would be like, what is going on, like in like Multiverse of Madness, where you're like, seriously, this is what's on my screen right now. Mm-hmm. But then it's like meant to be funny, so then you can laugh along with it. But then there's just like the concept of just, you know, a low toner situation,
yeah.
you know, taking him on this whole adventure. I just think that's hilarious, because who has a printer? And who is printing out directions? And so it's just so absurd that I thought it was very yeah. funny. Yeah, honestly, classy Teddy.
I feel like I enjoyed the non-action sequences of the film like way more. And again, admittedly, I am not an action guy. So that a lot of times that I feel like I sort of like zone out during like these big action sequences. But I did really enjoy a lot of the scenes between Kevin Hart and Woody Harrelson. And Kevin Hart is very funny along the way. Chappelle, it's interesting that you mentioned in terms of like Woody Harrelson playing like this Jason Statham type character, because according to the Man from Toronto page on Wikipedia, it was announced in January 2020 that Patrick Hughes was set to direct Robbie Fox's script, The Man from Toronto, with Jason Statham and Kevin Hart as the star. Whoa. And then in March of 2020, maybe that Jason Statham had some things going on. Jason Statham abruptly exited the project 6 weeks prior to filming after clashing with the producers over the tone and rating of the film. Woody Harrelson was cast to replace him. I wonder if that Jason Statham says like, this is too wacky. This needs to be more serious.
Well, first of all,
I don't do comedy.
Kudos to me.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that I picked up on that. I was like, this doesn't feel like you
got this.
But, yeah, but I'm shocked about that, actually, because I'm trying to figure out, like, Jason Statham, for the tone to not be something that he really, like, buys into, I'm like, no disrespect, but you have been in some wacky stuff. Crank is ridiculous. And then there's a sequel to Crank. And there might be a third Crank, but this man is in The Expendables 3. He's mm-hmm. in Fast and Furious 6, Furious 7, Furious 9, sir, you have no right. You have no room to talk about this kind of thing. You just have to sit down and eat your rice.
Yeah.
Right. What are you doing? You're in the Meg and you have the nerve to talk about tone? Sir, sit there and eat your rice.
What is more comedic than the fact that there's 10 Fast and the Furious movies?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And he's just like, you know, I don't really like the tone of this one. Are you? I mean, it was wacky. I'll give you that. But yeah. Jason Statham, what you haven't been doing a lot of like really highbrow, you know, situations when it comes to your acting. It's pretty much all the Fast and Furious-es and the Meg. And so you could suffer through this one. I wonder if it was probably more than just tone issues. Maybe he just didn't like the people he was working with.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So wait, do you think he has a personal problem with Kevin Hart?
No. I think they've done a film before, right? Is he in Hobbs and Shaw too? Like he's in one of those.
Oh Lord, he is.
Yeah, I think so. And so I think he's familiar with Kevin Hart's work. I think they know each other probably pretty well. I think the issue might have just been production.
Yeah. Also, this film was supposed to be released theatrically in November of 2020, but got pushed back. And then eventually Netflix acquired the rights to this film. A little bit like Red Notice.
Mm.
I do think this movie would have flopped really hard in the box office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like, this is the type of movie that like it'll be number one on Netflix. Because they say they don't give us, you know, the numbers of why something's number one, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So like it'll be number one on Netflix, but it would not be number one in the box office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's no way. Could you imagine just like even the hype behind it? Like Kevin Hart on the downside of his career and Woody Harrelson trying something new. It's like in this new film. New. Like, yeah. Okay, I guess I'll go see it.
Can you imagine paying like $12.50 to see that movie?
$12.50.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a matinee? Is this a discount? Oh my god!
Oh, I only go to the cheap theater.
Same.
Yeah,
I go to the cheapest of theaters in the middle of the daytime. Like, yeah. I don't want to sit by anybody, and I definitely don't want to pay $15 to see a movie.
Give me a daytime movie.
So, is a movie like this actually is Netflix the best landing place for a movie like this?
I think that if it was on something like HBO Max, it would have a little bit more of like an air of legitimacy because they're also posting like all of the, you know,
mm-hmm.
box office type releases are coming there sooner. So it maybe would make it feel more like a serious movie. But I mean, I think Netflix is probably where it belongs.
I mean, Chappelle, this is like 2 weeks in a row at the top of the movie charts on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, what is number, like, so this is number two on Netflix right now, or is it number one? Because, like,
it's number two, and interestingly, number three on Netflix is Wild Card, Wild Card is starring, guess who? Jason Statham. Guess who looks like a total idiot right now?
Yeah, he could be in the number two movie.
At the movie that he passed on, The Man from Toronto, in the Netflix movie charts.
Well, that leads me to kind of raise an eyebrow. There's some shenanigans going on here. Why is 2015's Wild Card in the top three on Netflix right now? Just so happened to be sitting right here looking up at the movie he turned down. Netflix, you're being messy. I can tell. Because there's no reason. Nobody went back and was like, nobody watched this movie. It was like, The Man from Toronto was good. But for some reason, I'm just thinking Jason Statham. Are y'all getting the Jason Statham vibe? Mm-hmm. Let's go watch something he's in. Let's go pick that one.
Yeah. In Canada, The Man from Toronto is still the number one movie. And number two is King of Staten Island.
Oh.
Rob's autobiography.
Yes.
And then Final Score, Angel Eyes, Cold Mountain and
Cold Mountain
Hustle.
Why is Cold Mountain back?
Yeah.
I probably just got, I don't know. Is it just added to Canadian Netflix? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Civil War stuff is hot, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people Googling it and stuff like that. Okay. Should we talk about a little bit of what the film was about, what The Man from Toronto was for anybody who is 23 minutes into the podcast and maybe didn't see it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
The quick version. Yeah.
Kirsten, it gave me the Cliffs notes. So do you want to do the honors here?
Well, I feel like there's... Okay, so I'll expand a little bit based off of what I texted you, because I feel like I didn't give enough for the pod. So Teddy works in marketing at a gym, and he's really bad at stuff. He can't do anything right. In fact, when you make a mistake, it's called teddying it up. He's
Chappelle,
married.
Did they just completely rip off Community with using Teddy as a verb?
You really britted this one, yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard it and I kind of flinched. I said, well, we've done that before.
I mean, I don't think Community invented that.
Mm. Who invented it?
I think that's just like a thing that happens when people are mean. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Man.
It's a bullying thing more than a community thing.
Did the statute of limitations on Community expire? Like, did they lose the, was it out of the public domain?
Yeah, pop. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing. After so long,
after 10 years, somebody else can do the joke, I guess.
And that's fine, honestly, because, I mean, we've really been holding on to, like, Community for way too long. Like, we can let it go. It's okay. It was funny, and it can go.
Go to sleep. Close your eyes. It's over.
Oh, my God.
So Teddy is married to Lori, and it is about to be Lori's birthday, and he just wants to make her proud. He gets fired from his job and lies to her. But it's okay. They're going on a getaway for her birthday. They're going to a nice cabin in the woods. He drops her off for a spa day so he can go get the cabin ready. He has printed the directions to the cabin wrong. He does not have the correct address. He shows up to a different address where the man from Toronto is expected to torture someone for information.
Due to a low-toner situation.
Due to a low-toner situation.
Mm-hmm.
He gets there. He gets the information from the man basically by being like, I don't want to do this. Just tell them what you want to know so that we both survive. The other man does not ultimately survive. There's like an FBI raid on the place because they are trying to catch the dictator or someone who's trying to do a coup in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And so now he has to continue to pretend to be the man from Toronto so that they can figure out like where this person is. A very handsome FBI agent takes his wife away to take care of her, and hijinks ensue in Puerto Rico and America with Woody Harrelson and Kevin Hart. Okay. And at the end of the day, man from Toronto is just a lovable weirdo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all worked out. Yeah, Chappelle, they really did like a real glow up on the man from Toronto by the end of the movie, where he seems like an irredeemable, cold-blooded killer at the start. And they make him very warm and fuzzy by the end.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what the plot of the movie was. But at the end, I was like, what is the story being told here? Because I know we are focusing on... man, Kevin Hart, you know, you're in this horrible situation and, you know, the hitman has to teach you his ways so that you can survive this. But then it's like, Kevin Hart's like, but am I changing you for the better? Are we making any changes in your life? Like, what? And then you start to think, are we doing that? Are we doing the thing where he like learned something from him and he learned something from him and now they're both better off because of it? Yes, that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, that is the story, right? No. There's also a love story in here. Kirsten touched on it a little bit, but Teddy and his wife are like, they're on the edge right now. Teddy's been teddying things up and his wife could be on the way out. And so there are moments throughout the movie where all the action is happening and Kevin Hart will randomly mention Lori. And I'm like, who the hell is Lori? I was like, oh, his wife. What? She's a part of this too. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So it's like three different plots, really.
It's also just like, because their marriage is hanging on by a thread. And so the agent that is taking care of Lori is Agent Santoro, and he's extremely handsome. And, you know, he can dance and he can do everything. And there's so many scenes of Kevin Hart being like, no dancing. Absolutely not. Why can't this ugly agent go instead? Why does it have to be this handsome man?
Yeah. The guy he was saying was ugly was no slouch.
I didn't think he was ugly. Yeah. I was like, okay, Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that was funny. That's one of my favorite running gags throughout the film, though. Whenever they mention Santoro, and he's just like, what are you talking about? Like, because the moment they mention Santoro, like, you hear the music drop, and it's like, suavemente, besame. I was like, that lets you know they mean business when they walked in. He's teaching Lori the tango. He's taking her out. And even, it kind of feels like he's in on the joke, too. At some point, he's like, you know, you're just like the luckiest man to have a wife like you do. Like I would, like in my whole life, I've always wanted a moment to spend this time with your wife. Kevin Hart's character could just die. Like he can't physically punch him because that's not in his MO yet. Mm-hmm. But he wants to melt every time.
So he's like, oh, wow, you are so lucky to have a woman like Lori, which like he is. Lori is really, really beautiful.
Oh, dear God, yes.
But it's so funny.
Kristen, is Teddy a good husband?
Well, he lies to his wife a lot about his employment situation, amongst other things, which, you know, that's not great. But I think, you know, as he changes the man from Toronto into more of a cuddly non-killer, he kind of gains confidence in himself and the ability to actually like provide.
Chappelle, do you think that perhaps if I spent more time around contract hitmen, I might have less issues that come up in my marriage?
Okay. So if you spend time with a Woody Harrelson type,
or Jason Statham,
or Jason Statham, yeah. And let's see. Well, what did Kevin Hart learn throughout the film? He learned that he was very lucky to have his wife. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think he appreciates her a lot more.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he ever actually picked up any real tools from Woody Harrelson on like how to navigate his wife. Now he can probably kill someone. Now he learned how to punch. These are not great things to bring into a marriage, probably. You know. So I don't know. I mean, I think the jury's still out on this one, Rob. I don't know if it's a net positive to meet one of these people. I don't know if they can always benefit you.
By the end, he has a successful business, and it seems like him and Lori are really happy. Yeah.
I mean, if we have any hitmen that listen to the podcast, I mean, you could slide into my DMs. We can hang, like friends. Like, I'm not like gonna say like kill people.
Yeah, I feel like this has come up before. Did this come up on Renap? Weren't we?
Hitmen in the audience?
An assassin, or was it a spy?
Hit women.
Hit women.
Yeah.
Gender
neutral. I don't
think
you should say the words hit and woman so close together.
Assassins. Okay. That's more, you know, that includes everybody.
I just look, we're not looking to hire anybody. Let's just be very clear, but we would love to have a conversation. So. Yeah.
And no freebies either. Yeah. We don't want any murdering.
Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, let us talk you into retiring.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll learn something from us. Yeah.
I think that if there are any assassins, hitmen, murderers, whatever, listening, first of all, please stay away from me. I'm afraid. And also, I think you shouldn't want to talk to them, Rob. I think that you should keep as much distance as possible from anyone in your fan base who does murder.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kristen, I feel like that. You say this on the podcast, but like, wink, wink, like you might ask me for their number after.
Oh, my God. No, absolutely not. What?
Kristen loves murder.
What is the vibe that I give off? Mm-hmm.
All that true crime you've been listening to.
Listen, I'm on a murder hiatus in terms of true crime content.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you've been listening. So you've been doing the romance novels instead. See, that's even worse. Honestly, you might be a criminal.
I'm sorry. How's that worse?
If you've been actively reading romance novels in the year of our Lord 2022, I think you might be the hitman. You might be the assassin.
I don't know why you are devaluing a genre that centers women's ideals and pleasure.
How dare you?
Is it because you can't live up to people's expectations, Chappelle?
Don't yell at me.
It's a good
also,
question.
Yes, you're
yes.
right. Yeah. And what about it? Let me live my truth.
Let's talk a little bit about Teddy's business, which is that he is an aspiring fitness instructor who wants to pitch no contact boxing. Chappelle, is this not already a thing? Did Billy Blanks already get this going?
Right. Like Tybo was a thing. It was a thing. And it was like shadow boxing or kickboxing, but you never actually touch anyone. Mm-hmm. So this has been done. I think Teddy's issue is that he doesn't want to be a fitness instructor. He wants to be a fitness influencer. Like, he's thought that I need to be famous for fitness. I just don't know what that looks like. So he can't figure out if it's the Teddy band, the Teddy bar. Like, he has all of these strategies, the kickboxing, or the no contact boxing or whatever. He has all of these ideas, but none of them are actually anything that he does professionally. It looks like he's trying to flip his current job working at a gym into an influencer lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Well, and doesn't Peloton currently make a ton of money from this exact type of fitness?
See, if this was maybe a couple of years ago, the script was written, maybe it hadn't really taken off.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, maybe they gave Peloton the idea. Yeah.
But I mean, my wife does, it's called Fight Camp, and that's basically, it's boxing. And I think that there's like, in the gloves is like a Bluetooth thing that could sort of like to tell like what you're punching. So yeah, I feel like that this was painted in the film as like this absurd concept that could never work and probably is something that a lot of people actually do.
Yeah, I think... like boxing at home with the Bluetooth, you know, gloves and the software and all that stuff. I think that is probably a very legitimate form of fitness. I think Kevin Hart was presenting this is a legitimate form to learn how to box. And I think at some point you need to hit someone. And I think yeah, that's probably where the confusion was. It's like, you're calling it boxing, but you're calling it no contact boxing. So it's almost as if like there's another person involved, which means, why are we like, you know, you're missing the mark literally on what boxing would be. So, yeah, if he called it something else, he might have had some action. But it's very clear that nobody's in on this plan. Like, nobody likes it. And he gets fired because he even pitched it.
Mm-hmm. He also gets fired because he made like marketing materials that did not include the address or phone number of the establishment. And he gets in a lot of trouble for this. But what I don't understand is why the owner of the gym didn't have a final sign off on the marketing materials to say, hey, why isn't my address on here? Why? Yeah. Where's the phone number? Because that's...
Was there like, a website? Were there social handles?
Yeah. Like, I think Teddy messed up. He definitely teddied up the marketing materials, but the business owner also teddied up by not actually having a final approval. And I think that a marketing employee making a mistake is not as bad as the business owner not actually doing the final approval.
They gotta have a scapegoat.
Yeah. Well, again, that's why I think a lot of this lays on the fact that it was just dumb. And so when the guy saw it, he was like, you didn't went and ran with this stupid idea, but you also didn't even put our, like, they, even if they got the flyers out, we couldn't even utilize it. So, like, I pay you to do marketing and you're doing that poorly, but you also are bringing stupid ideas to the table. So I think at that point, they just cut their losses. Sad for Teddy, but honestly, I think it needed to happen. We need to see some growth here from our main character.
But do people not have Google? Carson, if you got a flyer for Marty's Fitness, be like, oh, there's no address. Can't ever find out how to go there.
Wonder where the fuck Marty's is. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I probably would be like, well, I can't afford a gym membership anyway.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad. In 2020.
The miss up.
2022.
Yeah, I just think it's probably just compounded on top of other issues. You know, they call it teddying up for a reason. So this is not the first infraction. This is probably the 25th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think a mistake not to have some sort of HR professional there for the firing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very tacky. Yeah. Very tacky.
Marty's Fitness seems like a pretty well-run establishment. Surprising that they would make that faux pas as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Marty.
Yeah. So they're going to go on a birthday. Was it birthday or anniversary? It was her birthday, right?
It was birthday.
It was a birthday trip. Also like, sort of like just like dropped in there, like very early on in the film, Kevin Hart, would like a child, wants to, you know, get that going. Sort of mentioned briefly once in the beginning of the movie and then in the closing scene of the movie.
A little strange. I think, you know, his lack of stable employment, but you know what? He wants a family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that this birthday weekend could be the time to do that because they say it's baby making time and they book a cabin in Onacock, Virginia.
Very on brand.
Onacock, Virginia. Yeah. I was like, haha. You know, like, we get it on the cock.
Yeah, it's a kind of like I don't like that type of joke because it's like It's like a little funny the first time you hear it, but then they have to keep saying it for so long. You're like, I'm over this. I'm past this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kirsten, could I interest you in watching The Pentaveret?
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. I heard your podcast.
There's a lot of that in The Pentaveret. Like, dick's in. Dick's all the way in, halfway in. Oh, it's an inn, a hotel. Oh, okay. Run by Dick. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of that in that movie.
No.
This seems to be Netflix's brand right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is their type of comedy.
Yeah. What about Kevin Hart and Mike Myers for the next buddy comedy, Chappelle?
I'm out. Sorry, can't do it. I think I'm done on Mike Myers films for a long time.
Will Mike Myers sign a contract that he will stay fully clothed?
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, that's a non-starter for me.
Mm-hmm.
I need it in blood.
See, Chappelle knows about the demonic underworld.
Yes. That's a good point. At the same time, we also get to meet the Woody Harrelson man from Toronto that we see him brought in to interrogate somebody who has been captured. And we get to hear about his harrowing backstory in this film.
Yes. So he grew up by a frozen lake 50 miles from nowhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. And his origin story is that he saw a grizzly bear tear the skin off of his grandpa.
Yes.
And that's what got him. Now, this leads me to believe that he is not, in fact, from Toronto, because I am pretty sure grizzly bears are only on the west coast of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think he relocated to Toronto from 50 miles from nowhere?
Yeah, I think like many Albertans, he headed east to Ontario. That's my theory of the case. His other thing, too, that they bring up a lot in this movie is that he like really likes durian, and I just disgusting to me. But yeah, he goes in. He doesn't even have to do any torture to get the information because he just like lays out his knives in an intimidating fashion, and then he says what he'll do. He's like, I'm gonna start with your eyes, and then when I'm done with your eyes, I'll do everything else, and then after that, if you're still not talking, I will skin you like the grizzly bear skinned my grandfather. And then they just give the information.
Yeah.
So I think that was interesting to set up as like, oh, maybe Woody Harrelson doesn't actually kill anybody or torture anybody. He's just a wordsmith.
Yeah, but what good is like Woody Harrelson having mercy when he walks out of the room, the other guy shoots the person that was being interrogated?
That's not his business.
He didn't have to do it. Blood's not on his hands.
I guess so.
Mm-mm. It's not his business. What happens when I leave this room?
Murder adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't notice that, honestly, watching the film the first time. But like, yeah, looking back, he's not the guy. You know, they say that he's all bark and no bite. And we find out at the end of the movie that, you know, his conscience is starting to get the better of him. He's gotten older and he's kind of just like not really vibing with the whole killing everybody thing. So we're going to see him talk his way in a very similar manner that Kevin Hart does, honestly, just talking his way out of situations where normally an assassin would have killed someone.
Yeah. But he does kill a bunch of people in the movie.
Does he kill
only
a bunch?
When he needs to. Life is in danger, really.
On the cargo jet, he definitely kills people.
Yeah, but I mean, you're fighting a jet. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna break a couple of eggs.
But it's also not his fault that Teddy pulled the lever on the cargo jet.
Lever. Yeah.
Sometimes lever.
Sometimes lever. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess progress things along, because of the low toner situation, Woody Harrelson ends up being mistaken for the man from Toronto and ends up as part of a whole scene that the FBI was monitoring, and the FBI taps him to become the man from Toronto, and now he needs to go deep undercover.
Mm-hmm. So the story here is that Kevin Hart was caught on camera. So they saw him in the cabin, kind of talking his way through his own, assassin situation. And so they were able to see him. So they know the man from Toronto entered the cabin, and they think it's Kevin Hart. We know that that is not the case. It's Woody Harrelson. And so Woody Harrelson is now dispatched to go and to figure all of this out as well. So Woody doesn't have anybody in his life except for Deborah and his handler. And so the handler is like, hey, you go and work this out because you're going to get this big payday. There's a huge payday, but you have to intercept Kevin Hart and you have to make the drop. And I think there's a bomb involved. So there's a whole bunch going on, but Woody Harrelson's in too. And so now he and Kevin Hart have to team up in a way so that he can make sure that Kevin Hart can lead him to the drop.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Woody Harrelson, Kirsten, is monitoring Kevin Hart, monitoring Teddy, and he is able to hack his email account. And he finds that Teddy has a Hotmail account.
He has a Hotmail account and his password is password. And so this leads Woody Harrelson to believe that this is actually a very smart person who's created a fake, you know, email situation to intercept his $2 million payday. Mm-hmm. But then when he meets him, he's like, oh, no, this is man is really named Teddy. He really uses Hotmail and his password is really password. He's just that dumb that he ended up in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chappelle, do you know anybody that has a Hotmail account?
Not off the top of my head. I flinch. They're like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm just not as worldly as you, Sam. But if it doesn't say Gmail or Yahoo, I kind of flinch every time I see
you think
it.
You're
so
being
if it
hacked.
Says like, I just don't know. Like you tell me it's at Hotmail. I'm like, ooh, at Ymail. Ooh, at CompuServe. Like, oh, what is this? You know, like, I don't want none of this. At Juno. I'm not
AOL?
Emailing you. Nope. Sorry. If you have an AOL email address to this day, something's wrong. You might be the assassin.
I do know someone who has a Hotmail email address.
And you can't trust them. Trust me on this one.
Oh my God. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to believe?
Yeah.
It was because we were watching this movie I watched with my boyfriend and he was like, I don't get the joke. I use a Hotmail. Yeah. What am I supposed to use? And I was like, Gmail. You're supposed to make a Gmail. It's 2022.
I just followed this man on Instagram and now I'm reconsidering.
Yep. I think we know
if
some folks
him,
that
I'll
have Hotmail.
If you unfollow him, I'll come at you.
Yeah. Is it still hot, Kirsten?
The mail?
No, it's ice cold.
It's ice cold. Cold
ice,
mail.
Ice cold mail.
Cold mail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone emailed me from coldmail.com, you know, maybe I'd listen to them for a minute.
Yeah.
What else does this guy have to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Did you take any entries into the hot takeoff? Were they extra hot if they came from Hotmail?
Oh, I didn't even really look at the email addresses other than to confirm that it wasn't like an obvious fake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or like someone who's like banned from the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
What about at comcast.net?
No.
Oh, what about Rocket Mail?
No.
Rocket Mail.
There was someone from Rocket Mail. Oh, there are some Hotmails in here. There were some Hotmails, Gmails. There was Rocket Mail. There's AOL.
Mm-hmm.
Vast majority Gmail, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Chappelle, do you think it was very tough to get the email address hotmail@hotmail.com?
At hotmail.com. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been thinking that this whole time. I was
hot
wondering if it was available.
Hotmail.com.
That's hot Gmail. You know, like he's a gangster.
I'm like, not hot.
That's my assassin name.
Yes, hot Gmail.
Hot Gmail.
Instead of the Daddy Network, you've just evolved to hot Gmail.
Oh my God. this is where the very embarrassing thing comes up. I'm pretty sure that at one point my Hotmail was hotblondie@hotmail.com.
Hot Blondie?
Yeah.
Okay.
You win.
Does that account still forward to you? I feel like you're going to get messages.
I'm sure that account is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Let us pray.
Okay, I exposed myself here. Mm-hmm. It's very embarrassing. Everyone had a horrible... I think one of my friends, when we were like 12, had Super Sexy Chico 7.
Super Sexy Chico?
Chick 07.
Because that Super Sexy Chick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 were all taken.
Yeah,
they had to be 07.
But also 7's a lucky number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough out there when you're a preteen that just wants some really sexy email address.
Yeah. Yes. No doubt. No doubt. Chappelle, changing subjects. Do you feel like that Kevin Hart became an FBI informant? Is it an informant if you just go work for the FBI?
Yeah, he's still snitching.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It's very weird to see Kevin Hart kind of thrust into this role. Mm-hmm. I was trying for the longest to verify that this was the FBI. Because it just feels like they're a little bit out of their jurisdiction. They're handling a coup in Venezuela. Why are they over there?
Yeah, it could have been the CIA.
But no, I don't think they ever confirm it, though. That's the thing. They say, like, is that the FBI at some point? But they never say, yes, we are the FBI.
And it's just says agent.
Why are y'all worried about it? Yeah, why are y'all worried about these people in Venezuela? So I was thinking there was going to be a double cross coming. You know, I thought the red notice was going to happen and the FBI people were in on it, too, because I just couldn't understand which agency would have this much, stock and what's going on in Venezuela and why a man from Toronto, a different country, you know, like it's too many countries lined up for the FBI CIA. To be in the center of this.
Yeah.
Interpol, remember them?
Like, right.
I mean, Interpol's Europe only.
Right.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Interpol is Europe. I think it also, like, you know, all of this stems around an attack on a embassy in DC. So then maybe it's a Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's so secret that we don't even know. I don't think they say it in the video.
But I mean, Kevin Hart, they vaguely mentioned that he has a tax lien in the beginning of the movie. And because he says, hey, I've got this tax lien, he is willing to put his life on the line, really. And, you know, the life of his wife eventually to go and start to work for the FBI. This must be one hell of a tax lien.
Basically, he's already been taken by them and they're like, you're going to do this whether you want to or not. So at that point, he's like, okay, well, I have a tax lien and I have a MasterCard and I have a Visa and I owe my cousin $300. Mm-hmm. I think he could have asked for more money.
Mm-hmm. He's struggling right there because he's got himself in some like Tinder swindler nonsense with these credit cards. You know, you can tell. And
every
he's in
month the
spot.
Credit card company's like, my enemies are after me. Send me money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said, I didn't know I was supposed to pay the whole balance back at Amex. They scammed me. And he's like, okay, I'll let that pass. Like, what about the Visa card? Yeah, I just screwed that up. Mm-hmm. So I think in this position, they're going to use you whether you like it or not. You could possibly die. You might as well get some of this this debt wiped away. I mean, you're doing something for, in big quotations, the government. So the government can help you out. You should demand more of your politicians. Mm-hmm. Truly.
He basically is like, let me get out of debt. But he could have been like, let me get out of debt and give me a nest egg, right? Like, this is how the poor stay poor.
Mm-hmm. It's Squid Game all over again. Like, people does like it just like, so bad, down bad, that they're willing to do whatever it takes. It's like, I can die playing hopscotch.
I just gotta get out of the debt. Yeah. Help me.
Look at it. Look at this social commentary. Actually, Netflix, I'm starting to look at you a little bit more differently now. Like, I see you. You're pushing a narrative, and I'm not mad at it, but be better as a company.
All right. So once Kevin Hart is totally on board with this, like, I don't think he even realizes just how hairy things are going to get. He ultimately ends up like being abducted. Is that the fair thing to say?
I think so.
Yeah. And ends up on board this plane. And Woody Harrelson is going to come in and accuses Kevin Hart of ripping off his gimmick. Who's the real man from Toronto now?
Yeah, we get a lot of comedy in that throughout because people have verifiable proof that Kevin Hart is the man from Toronto. They saw him go into the cabin. They have the photo. So he does get to say, I'm the man from Toronto, because Woody Harrelson, being an effective assassin or at least a negotiator, has been able to remain under the radar. So people don't know that that's not him. So anytime that they're interacting and there's like, well, should we just kill Kevin Hart? He's like, no, you can't kill me. I'm the man from Toronto. And oh, well, in that case, let's hear him out. Woody Harrelson's like, no, it's me. And he's like, yeah, it might be him. We did see a picture of him. This photograph does.
And he was holding a knife.
That shows me all I need to know, honestly. Why were you asking any more questions? And so that's the comedy in them linking up in the plane and then several times throughout the film.
One of the things I like in the movie is that there is the man from every major city. I like that. There's not multiple men from Toronto or a woman from Toronto.
Well, but it also seems like the man from Toronto is the only Canadian city. What about the man from Vancouver? What about the man from Halifax?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Canada's huge. That's such a, like, is that, like, is Canada his whole jurisdiction? Because that's crazy.
That's a,
like,
large swath of land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got to cover all that ground. As yeah, but we saw at some point there were brothers, right? Wasn't there like men from Tacoma? It was a tag team. Mm-hmm. So they hired one, but you get two for the price of one. So I think maybe multiple cities have two people. I don't know why Tacoma would need two and Canada gets one, but okay.
Yeah. Is Tacoma a big enough hub to have its own hit person? Internationally renowned, yeah.
just for entrance into the country, or yeah. Is like Tacoma just like the place where hitmen get their start? Maybe it's like hitmen training camp is in Tacoma. You start there. Some people are stationed there permanently, but most people move on to bigger mm-hmm. venues.
Do you think that maybe some of the people in Tacoma cover some of the West Coast Canadian hits, Kirsten?
I mean, they could take it on. I'm just wondering how close Tacoma is to Bellingham International Airport, because they've changed their route maps while we were away, which is every Western Canada RHAP ad, by mm-hmm. the way, Rob.
Yeah. So Tacoma is the 103rd largest U.S. city, according to the 2020 census.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like they should have two hitmen. Sounds like
so.
It.
I mean, you'd think that, like, isn't Seattle bigger?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes. I'm sure, 100%.
So maybe the men Seattle has like the brothers six. From Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe Seattle has a bunch of them too. I don't know. Again, we only had one Canadian city, yeah. But there's a possibility we just didn't meet all those people.
I'm looking up the Tacoma versus Toronto population because mm-hmm. this makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. It's the third biggest city in Washington from a population density standpoint.
Third.
Yeah.
Well, what's second?
It has me. I'm Spokane? On Google Maps right now.
Spokane know. Is bigger than Tacoma?
I don't know.
Okay. I was today years old when I found that out. I think it gets to the point where you wonder if there are multiple people, like if there's like splinter agents all over the place, right? Like, do you get one in every major U.S. city? Do you get one in the top 200? I mean, we got to 103 here. So, you know, that's my question.
Tacoma only, as of 2020, has 215,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them are hitmen.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And yet Toronto has like 3 million people.
But they're so, you know, nice people for the most part.
Yeah. You don't
Toronto?
Need as many.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You don't need as many hitmen per capita in Canada as you would in the United States. Mm-hmm. They're a lot ruder here.
Spokane, confirmed second biggest city in Washington State.
They probably got about six mm-hmm. or seven men from Spokane, men and women for Spokane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also learned that the man from Toronto has a love of his life, Kirsten.
Yes. It is
Deborah.
His car. It's mm-hmm. car Deborah, who's mm-hmm. a Dodge Challenger?
A Charger.
A Charger, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chappelle, what do you think of Deborah as a car's name?
I love a good human name for things. Mm-hmm. Like I do. A good proper human name for whether it's your animal, whether it's your furniture, your car, whatever. Give me a name that's distinguished. I think Deborah is definitely like, she's definitely a great aunt at this point in her life. She's lived a long time. She once was a secretary, but she's now worked her way up the ranks. Like I really feel like it is like has dignity behind that name. Like right. this is a name that has like gone through but also has persevered. Give me Deborah as a name for a Charger anytime.
Yeah, it's classier than Debbie the Dodge.
Yeah, oh, Debbie the Dodge. No. Yeah, Debbie sounds like a PT Cruiser name. Like,
Debbie is like the 2016 Dodge Charger where it's like they're not that cool anymore like they were in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's Debbie and then if it has a Hemi, then it's Deborah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we don't play.
So, one of the things that I thought was a little peculiar was that towards the end of the film, the man from Toronto puts Teddy in charge of the Dodge Chargers. There better not be a scratch on this. He ends up leaving the car on the train tracks only to have it destroyed by a train. Kirsten, it seems like that the man from Toronto takes this pretty well.
I mean, in theory, yes. But then at the end of the movie, you know, he's getting his first check in payment for this, the car for Deborah, and it doesn't have enough zeros, or it's a one instead of a seven. He needs that car rebuilt.
Right.
Now, you would think as a Hitman, he would have plenty of money and he could pay for the car. Wait, is Akiva a Hitman? Is that why he says he has plenty of money?
Boy, would you trust Akiva to carry out a hit? I don't think I would.
No, I certainly would not.
You wouldn't be the first person I would go to. Yeah.
That's why it would be Akiva. It's, yes, you know, he's hiding in plain sight. It's like
the hot your name is Teddy. Address. Yeah,
exactly. Your password is password.
Can't tie my shoes.
The very Akiva thing, right? Like, oh, look at me, I'm Akiva. I don't know how to do anything.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah. And now look at him. We out here killing people. We start our search with Akiva. and then we move out from there.
Well,
I think we're on the right track.
He's always asking, well, is it murder in this circumstance? Is it murder in that circumstance? Like, you know, I think we may be onto something.
It's a good question. This is, raising a lot of interesting thoughts. but I just feel like that the man from Toronto, like, you ruined my car. You have to buy me a new one. Like, that, I feel like that's a pretty reasonable, like, outcome. Like, he wasn't like, it's cool. But he's just like, hey, all right, you owe me a new Dodge Charger.
He's such a softie. Mm-hmm. He really is. Because this is supposed to be the love of his life. This is all he talks about throughout the film is Deborah. That's it. Like, every time someone mentions Deborah, he gets all somber. Deborah gets destroyed. And I thought he was being dramatic about that anyway. He tells Kevin Hart, don't let a scratch get on it or whatever. But you just ran someone over with your car. There's probably like a huge-ass dent in the side of it, at the very least. There's at least a scratch on it by now. And so I wasn't shocked that Kevin Hart destroyed the car. I was just shocked that, like, the reaction wasn't more visceral. You know, like, this is the love of your life. You should, like, I know you don't kill people anymore, but you should at least have harmed him. I think you could have gotten away with that. I don't think anybody would have been upset if you had just punched him.
Should he have reported the car stolen had Kevin Hart sent to jail and gotten insurance money for
Deborah? Oh my God.
Ooh, yes. That true crime coming back. There you go. I mean,
was he insured?
He had Ontario license plates. You have to have insurance if you're registered.
Does car insurance cover, you know, international incidents?
I mean, and actually, you know what? Not all insurance covers if your car gets stolen also. But the thing is like, he loves Deborah so much, you know he's paying for that good insurance.
Yeah, but his rates are going to go up.
Oh, they're high. They're sky high. The moment you tell him what you're using your car for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's using his car for like espionage and hitmantry.
Are you using your car for any sort of illicit underworld activities? Like,
he's like, yes. He's like, describe underworld.
Mm-hmm. Which underworld? As far as,
right. In what sense, ma'am?
Like, okay. We thought you drove for Uber. Okay. That's fine. That's
right.
Fine.
He's like, you could call it that sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People contact me on the phone and I go and like do a thing and then it's similar. But Kaylee Cuoco comes in, and she is the best friend of Kevin Hart's wife, Lori. And she ends up becoming the love interest for Woody Harrelson. Chappelle, what do you think about the man from Toronto being very awkward with women?
It was one of those things where you imagine that if he is truly this assassin and he is like probably like a recluse, maybe he hasn't had time to give his life to social matters because he's all about his work and his car, that maybe he missed out on those things. But I think this is where they start to build that narrative that Kevin Hart can learn so much from this assassin, but can this assassin learn so much from Kevin Hart? Let's find out. And they bring in Kaylee Cuoco to do this. And I love her. She's funny in everything. Like I love her in every role. But when I tell you they did not need her here at all, they did not have to spend this money on her. She had roughly five, maybe six lines throughout the whole film. but they did not need her. So when you tell me they can't afford The Rock, I'm like, look, there are a few characters you could trim. You could keep her, but I could get rid of a couple other people to make room for The Rock if we need the money. Netflix absolutely could afford to spend a little bit more money on this because they had to throw Kaley Cuoco a lot of money to get her to basically do nothing in this film.
Well, she also was a late addition to the cast. Do you think that was part of the scramble of like, oh, we lost Statham. Okay, like, right. We got to replace Statham. All right, so Woody Harrelson. Is that a one for one? Not really. All right, who else can we throw in here?
Give me a side of Cuoco.
Yeah.
Yeah, is Kaley Cuoco plus Woody Harrelson equal to one Statham? Jason Statham?
Equal to or greater than? Like, is this better than Jason Statham being there? Would you have traded him out for the two of them?
I mean, I wonder who would have been the love interest if she weren't there. Now, also, this is a pretty big age gap romance situation going on also.
Mm-hmm. How old is Kaley Cuoco?
Okay. She's born in 1985, so she'll be 37 this year, and he's 61 this year. It's a big gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A May-December romance.
Mm-hmm.
She was fun, and she very clearly saw him and completely just decided, okay, like, I'm interested.
He's
she called him tall, dark, and scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they love cars the same.
Mm-hmm. She was speaking his love languages. She really did tap right into the fact that he really loved that car. She knew exactly what kind of car it was. She, like, it was one of those things where he was like, okay, there are people like me out there, or people who would appreciate my taste out there. I was happy to see her in this role, but again, I just know they paid her a lot of money. And there's one other person too that they paid in this movie that I'm like, man, y'all really like spared no expense here because these actors have to be so expensive. Well, we haven't really talked about Ellen Barkin as the handler. Like, why? Like, no disrespect to Ellen Barkin, but like she's like a big deal.
You think she commands a big salary, Ellen Barkin?
I don't know about a big salary, but I just think she's like a big deal, you know, like she's in everything. She's been in everything forever. So I'm just kind of like, man, like was she just like chilling at the house and thought I could do that real quick? Cause she didn't have to.
It was 2020.
Dope. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It was 2020. She probably wasn't doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and she's there just to be like, give me my money for like a $2 million payday, which like if she's handler for all of these hitmen, I think $2 million probably isn't that much money to her anyways, but also just to get boiled alive.
Yeah.
Like what was the purpose? It's anyone could have played that role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's so dope. They did not have to do Ellen Barkin like this, but I mean, this is like a role that she's good at though. Like she very much, it fit her. You know, the way I was saying like, this has been Woody Harrelson or could we go on with somebody else? You definitely want like an Ellen Barkin type in this role.
Okay. So at the end of the film, that we go from never lever to sometimes lever. Okay. Yeah. Ellen Barkin gets dropped into some sort of, I thought it was acid at first, but apparently it's some sort of like boiling water or oil. Unclear.
Yeah, I think it was it a tempura, like a frozen tempura situation? Like the factory?
She smelled like tempura afterwards. Yeah. And I didn't know if they were just saying that because her skin was melting or because she was actually dropped in grease.
A boiled white lady.
She got boiled. She got boiled for sure.
If it's oil, do you boil in oil or do you fry?
You would fry. That is a very good point.
Yeah.
That's the distinction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Kevin Hart says to Woody Harrelson that, you know, I can say this because it's just me and you here, but that actually smells pretty good. Actually, like I would try that.
He did.
You know, it's fresh meat, deep fried. I'm a vegetarian, so I can't speak to this, but I feel like people love deep fried meat.
Yeah, I can imagine it smelling good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's awkward to have the conversation, but it's not out of the question. I think once you smell it, you're like, I mean, if we got to eat something, it's there. You know, we're not going to starve. So, yeah, I think if it comes up, you entertain it. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, but they're not like stranded. They don't need to eat her flesh.
That's what I'm saying. If it comes up, if you get there, if you're ever 15 miles from nowhere and a grizzly bear is attacking your grandfather and you have to eat something, if there's fried Ellen Barkin there, you entertain the conversation.
Mm-hmm. But those are the kinds of conversations they could have, that they're close enough that, you know, in the beginning of the movie, Kevin Hart might not have said that to, confided in Woody Harrelson like that.
Mm-hmm. But they're look, they've come so far, you know? Yeah. And so it's the friends they made along the way, truly.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Chappelle, did you have any other favorite parts from the film?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, all the stuff with Centauro is really cool. But even with Lori and her like attraction to him as well. You know, she's very much in a relationship that she could probably see herself not being in. Her husband's not great. And she's like accompanied by this man who is, like she said, tall, dark and handsome and speaking Spanish. And he can tango and he's funny and all this other stuff. And she is like completely enamored by him throughout. And there's a moment where she says, oh, yeah, he taught me how to tango. And Kevin Hart says, oh, no, we got to unlearn that. Unlearn that right now. Forgetting all about that. So I loved all of those scenes. And then, like I said earlier, I just really like Kevin Hart kind of just doing his thing, being in the room and just filling space, because he's really good at it. And if you're not a Kevin Hart fan, I'm telling you, it will weigh on you, because you're like, God, move the plot. But it's really him in his bag, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really liked the scene where he was pretending to be the man from Toronto, and that he went in to go and he was wearing the earpiece and Woody Harrelson is telling him what to do. And he's waving the knife around and he actually pokes somebody's eye out with the knife. And at first he thinks the guy is faking, and then once he realizes that he sees what he has done, he starts throwing up on people. I thought that was a very funny scene in the movie, and it works. People, yeah, like basically gets the information.
If you throw up on me, I will rip my own skin off like the grizzly bear. Like, I just cannot deal with that.
You will fillet yourself. Yeah.
I will fillet myself viciously, because I can't imagine your bodily fluids being on. Don't throw up on me. That's disgusting. And so, like, yeah, I just can't. And so, Rob, this is, what, the third movie we've talked about with projectile vomit? Remember, I think we did Home Team, where they're all like throwing up on
that.
The field.
Yeah, block that one
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that was a... That was a bad one. And then we did the movie about the movie in quarantine. What was that?
The bubble.
So this is the best we've seen projectile vomit done.
Yeah.
And it's not even close. I think this was the funniest. He threw up on two people, mm-hmm, and he got them to confess to being Mr. Green. It really didn't matter in the end, but he did it. Mm-hmm. So 1 point for vomiting on people in this film. But this is the only time it's worked, Rob. The other two times I was out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kirsten.
We cover, it's hard-hitting journalism here, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's sometimes it's not easy, but somebody has to do it. And I think I can speak for the audience. And I say, I'm just so grateful that it's the two of you every week.
We're here.
If Rob were to fire you again, Chappelle, I'd be devastated. So I'm just glad to even get to be tangentially related to Nothing But Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Stay tuned, or I might fire me today. I don't know. He's gonna look back on this movie and be like, you know, Chappelle, this was very much your like no contact boxing of Nothing But Netflix. Yeah, I think we can reconsider your contract.
Well, it's my fault. Blame me. Mm-hmm. Don't blame Chappelle.
No. It's me. I'll take it. Yeah, you're S tier.
Chappelle makes the final decision. Come on.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, okay.
The buck has to stop somewhere.
I was just trying to take accountability, but if you want to pass it off to Chappelle, fine by me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I mean, somebody has to be responsible.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. Only one of us.
Yes, Kirsten. Did you have any other favorite moments from the film?
I'm trying to think now. I really liked when he showed up to the birthday dinner and Lori's like, oh, nice suit. And he's like, it's adult sized. I thought that was very funny. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like a little funny at the original cabin when the person who let him in like sends him down to go torture, and then he's going through the basket of things. And like, Kevin Hart truly has a ridiculous assortment of things in one box. And he's got, you know, the eggplant. He's also got personal lubricant. He's also got...
Yeah, I thought that was wild, like that he had an assortment of produce. And I understand the emoji But to have the actual produce, I thought was wild.
It was an eggplant type toy. I think
it was a toy.
No,
it
wasn't an
actual
eggplant. Stop it, it's Chappelle. Yeah. It was definitely like all the ingredients for dinner, and then just the personal lube got thrown in, and so then we're supposed to obviously assume like, oh my god, does the man from Toronto do torture by like penetrating people with stuff?
It's baby making time.
Yeah, if it was torture, he wouldn't have had the personal lubricant.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's baby making time. He said it. He was like, we have to get...
I don't think that was the dinner. What was the recipe?
I assumed he was going to make like eggplant parm.
Were there tomatoes in there? Was there cheese?
I'm assuming there's more boxes in his car before it gets exploded by the propane.
Yeah, there's a lot of explosions in this movie. Yeah. A lot of them.
I thought it was very funny that one of the hitmen was using a chainsaw as their weapon of choice, because that seems like a very impractical way to kill someone out and about.
Was that the man from Russia?
Maybe. Yeah, I can't remember.
From Moscow.
Yeah, from Moscow.
He pulled up with the chainsaw. And again, another Nothing But Netflix throwback. It's impractical to use a chainsaw unless you're in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because we've seen it wielded and wielded well. You know, I saw him throw that bad boy and like chop this woman's head off as she was riding away in a Tesla. We've seen amazing feats with the chainsaw here on Nothing But Netflix.
Yeah. I do want to say that as I'm looking at the box, the box does seem to have a lot of other produce in it, including some lettuce. So it doesn't seem like that was necessarily only a bedroom box. Maybe the lubricant was just on the shopping list at the store, and everything was in one was in one box.
Yeah. That's the guess. I assume that Durex or whatever brand of personal lubricant just like paid a little bit of money to get that exposure.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. All right. Anything else from the man from Toronto? What about the man from Miami? We didn't really talk about him.
Oh.
Seemed like a cool guy.
I like his little golf club gun thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Effective. Yeah, he's got a good gimmick.
And a good look. Yeah.
I guess if you're from Miami, you play a lot of golf, probably, maybe.
I was annoyed because it was like, just kill him. Kill the man from Miami. He keeps finding you. Just kill him. But they didn't kill him. And then he kept coming back.
Yeah.
The man from Toronto doesn't kill anymore. We didn't really talk about it here, but the reason why he's out the game. I mean, he still plans on making money, but he just wants to will his way through this stuff without actually having to do any murdering. Because one time he was going to kill a man, and the man had his son nearby, and he was like, I need to break the cycle. I can't allow, you know, these kids to grow up fatherless and or like parentless. So I'm not going to do it here. That guy ended up going off and rampaging and killing a bunch of people anyway, but Woody Harrelson looked at his life and said, I don't want to be the reason why people are dying, so I don't want to do that anymore. And so that's the story of the man from Toronto throughout. And the man from Miami is somebody he very well could have killed, and I don't think anybody would have been too upset, because that man was actively trying to kill him at every turn. I mean, he even shot Kevin Hart in the ass. Like, literally shot him in the buttocks.
Yeah.
And
he got grazed.
Yeah, he got grazed.
Well, yeah, I mean, you shoot me in the butt even a little bit, and I'm going to act like you, like, shot me in the heart. Kevin was in the bathroom at one point, and they were taking the bullet out. Woody Harrelson was stitching him up, or not taking the bullet out, but, you know, stitching him up. And he said, your buns are kind of taut back here from that no contact boxing. And I said, not taut.
Yeah.
I guess
listen, they checked out each other's buns and they were good.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Spell, should we talk about what's coming up next week on Nothing But Netflix?
Well,
we have a great guest.
We have a great guest with us. Yeah. Oh. And so we often like to know what our guests think.
Yeah, Kirsten, what do you think? I think maybe you're going to tell me that we have a guest ready for next week.
No. I haven't looked into next week yet. Let's see what we have. Okay. Kirsten, you have any suggestions for us?
Well, let's look back at the Netflix top 10.
Look at the top 10.
In Canada, the global top 10. I'll look at the global 10. Okay, so it's still Man from Toronto. Then
Spiderhead.
I saw on IMDb
like spiders.
I do not like spiders, but I do love Spider-Man. Yes. So like maybe Spider-Head could be okay. I know Spider-Head, I saw on IMDb, it said it was similar to the Man from Toronto. So I feel like that's, that's not it.
Now, Chappelle, did you ever go back and watch any more of Snowflake Mountain that we talked about last week with Jenny Autumn?
So I didn't go watch more, but I was contacted about Snowflake Mountain.
By
who? We do know someone who has some insight into the show.
Yes.
Yeah. They said that had things gone differently, they could have actually been on that show. But instead, they were cast for Survivor. I'm talking about Omer.
Talk Omer about sliding doors.
That's not what Omer said. That's not what Omer said.
I will play the voice note. Omer literally told me this yesterday. He said, have you? Look, matter of fact, I don't like to expose DMs, but for the sake of art and journalism, I'll do it here.
Since well, he tweeted out that it's
my integrity.
He tweeted out, like, in another world, he could have easily ended up on...
Like, in the multiverse? Yeah.
Listen, that's what I took it to be, but apparently it was a literal situation.
Well, this is what... This is all I have. He asked, when are we going to do Snowflake Mountain? I said, we covered it last week.
Omer just played himself.
Exposed yourself. Yeah, you played yourself. This was the long con just for me to call you out. No, I'm kidding. But he said, OMG, expletive, I'm a dumb expletive. So sorry.
Okay.
Also, if the ball bounced differently, that easily could have been me on that show. And I said, details. And I am waiting on the response.
Okay.
So,
Did you put the eye emoji also?
You know me so well. Stop it.
Okay. it's a cartoon. Never mind.
I don't think we've ever done a cartoon, but it might be interesting.
I was like, so there's a movie called Chicken Hair and the Hamster of Darkness in the top 10. And I was like, what is this? It's a cartoon.
Okay. So
sounds amazing.
I did watch, and I know Chappelle doesn't want to hear about it. I did watch Man versus Bee yesterday with my kids.
And?
Kirsten, are you a Rowan Atkinson fan by any chance, Mr. Bean?
She loves most Rowans.
I mean, if you look at my current Twitter bio, it says I'm like a sexy Mr. Bean.
Oh my God. Like a cosplay sexy Mr. Bean?
No, just like I end up in, like, I feel like the type of physical comedy is just like what happens in my life because I'm clumsy.
Oh, okay. That was your email address previously sexybean@hotmail.com?
No. No. No, I think that's Derek from BB Can 6.
Okay. All right. Man versus B is interesting. It seems like it was a movie that they just chopped up into episodes. But I don't know if it would be that good to podcast about, but my kids were engrossed with Man versus B. Rowan Atkinson, this is just a recommendation if this is interesting to you, the listener. Ooh. Rowan Atkinson is a first-time house sitter who is at the house of some very rich people with a very high tech house. And he is in full Mr. Bean mode, trying to kill a bee and destroys the rich people's house.
Would Dominic come on the podcast with you?
Oh, I think honestly, Anthony was a little bit more.
I was gonna say, this is an Anthony property.
Yeah. He likes the chaos. Okay. So here's one from the coming next week section.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ooh. Chappelle, do you have any interest in Netflix's new series, How to Build a Sex Room?
Excuse me?
So, yeah, this is an HGTV
home improvement
show.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So, we're building an addition to a home. Is this a television series?
It looks like it is a reality series. This is from the description. From a secret rock and roll dungeon to a next level spa, designer Melanie Rose dreams up erotic renovations for couple in this spicy reality series.
Secret rock and roll dungeon. Okay, you have my attention.
I'm all in.
We've talked about home improvement, real estate. We've talked about all those things together.
Yes.
And so I don't think that would be out of the question for us. I think we could do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, here's the fun part, Chappelle. What do Chappelle's DMs look like this week from any of our friends of the pod that say, oh, I'm actually, this is my wheelhouse. This is my forte.
Okay. You Can think I make a suggestion for who I think would be a very funny guest? I have no idea if they would be interested in coming on this podcast at all.
Okay.
I would love to hear you two talk to Maggie
David
Morgan
Bloomberg?
About Maggie Morgan about the sex dungeons. I think it would be hilarious. But also, you know, Frail Mary's moving right now, so she might want a distraction too.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
I just think it would be funny. I don't think it's because they would be like quote unquote experts on the material. I think it would be funny. And I know Maggie loves HGTV.
Maybe should we reach out to Wendell?
Ooh.
If you want to.
Could you get
if you want
Wendell and Kim?
Yeah.
Kim Spradlin, yes.
Yeah. Kim Spradlin will.
Yeah.
HGTV people.
Yeah. Wow. I get to podcast with two Survivor winners and Rob. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh. Sign me up.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Bryce Isaiah can be a good guest. Mm-hmm.
No, he cannot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bryce doesn't
respect you. So I think that's the call. I think that would be an interesting show to talk about.
Okay. So are we going to reach out to potential guests, or are we going to just let people volunteer as they see fit?
Yeah, why don't we let people volunteer, and then by midweek we'll start to make the outgoing calls.
Right, because honestly, I'm kind of curious to see who wants to throw their hat in the ring. Who? If your level of expertise is this particular type of room,
yeah,
definitely slide in my DMs at nothing but RHAP on Twitter, and we will be in contact. The interns will reach out to you expeditiously to find out more details on your background with the. Underworld, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Kirsten, what's coming up for you this week?
So this week, there's going to be another new episode of Mess Magnets with me and Sasha Joseph. There's a lot going on that we have to talk about, so that should be super fun. Also, I think Mary and I will record a Kowski cast about Riverdale. We're a week behind right now, but we're working on it. And Lindsay Wilson and I are still releasing BoJack Horsepod every week. Just about finished our BoJack rewatch, and then we're moving on to Tuca and Birdie. So that's great. And you can follow me everywhere.
What are you moving on to?
Tuca and Birdie. It's by the same creators of BoJack, but it's about, they're all birds.
Okay.
It's a great show.
Yeah. And it is currently airing. Yeah.
Yeah. The new season is just starting.
Yes.
It's a Netflix show, Rob.
Yes.
Well, it started on Netflix, but then it became a Cartoon Network show.
So is it not on Netflix anymore?
Well, I think like the original seasons are, but I think anything new is coming out on Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we've talked to Kirsten a couple times on Nothing But Netflix, and no disrespect to her, but this would be a great opportunity to bring in the great Lindsay Wilson to talk about Tuca and Birdie on Nothing But Netflix as it is on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So... just throwing that out there.
If there's a slow week for new releases, you could bring in Lindsay to talk to Kimberly. I would love to hear Lindsay on this.
To Omer to talk about an all bird related show.
I might have to reach out to my friend Omer.
You might have to reach out to your friend Omer. But look, Omer and Lindsay on the podcast or honestly, dope. Everything's dope. All of this. It's perfect. So if that, hopefully, and I know Lindsay listens to the podcast. I know Omer does not.
Yes, clearly.
But Lindsay, if you're hearing this and you want to talk Tuca and Birdie, you know how to reach me. Mm-hmm. Let's talk.
Also, if people could follow me at Kirsten Said What, that'd be great.
Okay. Chappelle, what's coming up for you this week?
Still talking about P Valley on the Purple Pants podcast. Bryce, Sharia, and I should all be back together this week to talk about that show. And so if you've been watching P Valley, or you're a fan of the Purple Pants podcast, please check that out. Last week was an incredible episode of the Purple Pants podcast. Bryce and assembled such, an iconic group of women and their testimonies about recent events in the United States. And so check that out. Even if you don't listen to the podcast, or P-Valley or anything like that, please check out that, because that was some amazing stuff. And I think Bryce is incredible for that. But aside from that, Rob, just hanging out with you, whatever you want to talk about, I'm down for.
Okay. Of course. Chappelle, we have a busy night on Wednesday night. when we're going to kick off all of the Big Brother 24 festivities. We're going to have Big Brother Wednesday night. The Challenge USA kicks off. So July is going to be really huge for all of the shows here on Rob is a Podcast. Make sure you subscribe. RobHasAWebsite.com/subscribe. We'll see you next time when we talk about Netflix's How to Build a Sex Room. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.